thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Turn with me then, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And we're going to read from verse 13 down to verse 25. Some of these are very familiar scriptures, very familiar verses to us. But let's see what the Lord has to say to us through His Word, His ever-living, ever-breathing Word this morning, as we ask the Holy Spirit to breathe upon the Word and make it food for our soul as it is. So Matthew chapter 16, excuse me, from verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, the word on the street is, some say John the Baptist." Now, why on earth would you say John the Baptist? Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So there's a lot of speculation. Who is this? Who is this itinerant preacher? There's something different, or something special about him. Maybe he's a prophet. He sounds like a prophet. He does some pretty awesome things. And so, in one sense, they had a pretty high kind of perception and a good understanding, they thought, of this man Jesus. They're putting him in the same bracket as John the Baptist, Elijah, the fiery prophet, or Jeremiah. But no, they weren't going far enough. He said to them, to His disciples, "But who do you say? Who do you say that I am?" And that was addressed to all the disciples, of course. And who pipes up? Who pipes up first? It's always Peter, isn't it? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed. You are so blessed, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then we have a verse that some people still cling on to today. "Then He strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that He was the Christ." From that time, something's changed. Something significant has changed. There's a shift, a decisive shift. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter, again, took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The BBC TV quiz program, Mastermind, it's been going since 1972. Some of you may remember as far back as Magnus Magnusson. Remember him? And he was the original presenter of it. And we have all the drama of Mastermind. We have the music, you know. It's quite good, isn't it? And you have the chair. And you have the spotlight. Did you know that the Mastermind's theme music is called... anybody know? Just in case you're on Mastermind, and this is one of the questions, what's the theme music called? It's called Approaching Menace. And the whole scene is set to be pressurized. And then, of course, we've got Magnus Magnusson's famous catchphrase, beep, 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 beep. That's not it, but beep, beep, beep. I've started, so I'll finish. We have all of that. I don't know about you, but I have memories of watching Mastermind as a youngster with my family and being totally delighted to get just one answer right in the whole program. Totally delighted. It's the same with University Challenge. Yeah? You get one question, like, whoa, awesome. You got two or three questions right. It was move over, Einstein. There's a new kid on the block. We just love to be able to answer questions. Well, right here in Matthew 16:16, Peter gets an answer right. It's great to get an answer right. It's great to have affirmation. It's fantastic to get a gold star and a tick and a smiley face or whatever it is they get these days at school. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And here's the point. Peter didn't work this out all by himself. It wasn't that he got the question right, therefore, he now is a spiritual genius. Because he got the question right. Jesus answered him, Simon, you are so blessed. You are incredibly blessed. You are blessed of my Father. For my Father has revealed this, opened this up to you, dropped this into your heart. This is spiritual revelation. This is a grace gift from God the Father. Do you see that? Do you see it as that? As an amazing, incredible, powerful, life-changing grace gift from the Father. Well, that's what it is. Peter's no genius. The Father dropped it into his heart. You know, we may talk about spiritual gifts. The greatest spiritual gift is the gift of knowing Jesus. That's the greatest gift, the greatest spiritual gift, truly knowing Him. I know we can argue about spiritual gifts till the cows come home, but that's it. That's the greatest one. The Father graciously reveals the glory of His Son by the power of His Holy Spirit. It's grace. It's all of grace. Do you know that the grace of God is the thing that most offends people? It's not the judgment of God. That's bad enough. But there's something that even offends people even more than the judgment of God. And that is the grace of God. If we truly understand it, that God is gracious to you, to me. Why? Answer that question. Answer that question in your heart of hearts, and I will tell you if you truly believe the gospel or if you don't. Why is God gracious to you? Why did God the Father open up this man's heart called Peter and drop this revelation, you are the Christ, the Son of God, into his heart? It's all of grace. The Apostle Paul, writing to the proud and boastful Corinthian church, says this, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He says this to them, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. What makes you different from anyone else? Proud Corinthians, boastful Corinthians, spiritual gifts coming out your ears, Corinthians. And he goes on to say, the apostle, hey, you guys are awesome. You are the real deal. Boy, you are the big shots. You're the cat's pajamas. Who's like you? Look at you. You're so rich. You're kings. You're so wise. You're so strong. You're so spiritual. No, you're spiritual. And Paul says, and we, that is his fellow workers, and we're the scum of the earth. Compared to you, we're the refuse of the world in comparison to you. What makes you any different? Christian, this morning, what makes you any different from your unbelieving friends and neighbors? What is it? We answered one question correctly. Because God put it in our hearts to answer that question correctly. This is not through flesh and blood. This is not a human interaction. This is not a humanly worked out spiritual puzzle. What makes us different? Are we just better than them? We worked it out. But those poor people, they couldn't work it out. And they haven't worked it out. But we worked it out. Boy, we are so good. We're amazing. He's the Christ. I know that. You know that, Rhonda, yeah? Isn't it good to know that? Boy. Makes you feel good about yourself. To know that you know what others don't. What is it that we have that our friends and our neighbors don't have? And where did we get such precious faith? Did we just have it? Always have it? Did we create it? Did we make it? Did we dredge it up from the dregs of our hearts and just believe? And did we believe all by ourselves? Did Peter believe all by himself? Ah, oh, John 3, verse 8. Jesus, the wind blows. Wow. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is a mystery, Jesus says. Why are some saved and others not saved? Why are some in your family saved and others not saved? Take it up with the Holy Spirit. It's called prayer. And it is called, Lord, please, we see a valley of dry bones. And God says to us, as we ask him, why? He says to us, can these dead bones live? So the challenge comes right back to us. Why is this one saved? Why is that one? Well, God says, hello? Can these dead bones live? Ah, Jeremiah's... Ezekiel. Oh. Ezekiel is... He's not going to say no, is he? But he's not going to say yes either. He's sitting in the chair. The lights are on him. And he has to answer the question. Pass. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. This is life. This is spiritual life, spiritual dynamics that we are talking about here this morning from God's word. And God says to him, yes, look at the valley, look at the bones, look at the death, look at the decimation that's right there. And you can either stand at the side and wring your hands and say, oh, isn't this awful? Or you can hear God, listen to God, and obey God, and begin to pray and prophesy into the valley as he commands. So what's it to be? In Peter's life and in our lives, spiritual understanding, revelation, shouldn't lead to spiritual pride. It should never lead to spiritual pride. Spiritual revelation should always lead to humility, to worship, to the service of others, to compassion, to a life of sacrifice, and a heart and mind that listen and learn from the Master. Verse 21. Here we have that. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, be killed, on the third day, be raised. Peter, are you listening? Are you still listening, Peter? Or are you on that spiritual high that makes you deaf to anyone or anything because you are the man with the plan now because you've had a spiritual revelation? Are you listening, Peter? Jesus began to show how How did Jesus begin to show his disciples, to explain, to declare, to teach them? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a specific answer to that question, but we can look elsewhere, maybe in Scripture, for a clue, for some meaningful way to understand how Jesus began to show them that these things would happen. Where would you look? Well, maybe look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. On that first resurrection morning. And maybe you begin to tune in and walk along beside these two disciples and Jesus and just eavesdrop into what's actually being said here. And he says to them in verse 25, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" That's what he's telling them in chapter 16 of Matthew. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Could it be that Jesus began to show his disciples from the Old Testament scriptures what was about to happen? Maybe. We don't know. But however he did it, he was doing it. Showing them the way of the cross. This is why I've come. This is the core of salvation. This is the mind of God. And of course, Peter took him aside. Because he didn't want to embarrass Jesus, maybe. As he corrected him, as he rebuked Jesus. Now, maybe we've never rebuked Jesus. But maybe we've given him some advice now and again. One or two wee pointers, a nudge or two. And maybe we have actually gone a bit further. And maybe we have actually been pretty angry. And maybe we have actually gone to that stage where we are rebuking him, correcting him. "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Spiritual revelation, spiritual understanding is a gift from God and does not guarantee that we will be free from absolute stupidity. Be aware of that. We can say some pretty stupid things. Ridiculous things. I'll tell you a story about myself. One of the most stupidest things I've ever said in my life. Ready? Ach, maybe I'll not bother. In fact, we were on the boat. We were at Bible college, coming over to do our deputation in Northern Ireland, and it was the Bible weekend in 1986, probably, round about there, 86, 85, 86. And we were all having a chat, and Jim Hunt was there. Jim Hunt was one of the most loved lecturers, and I loved him. I just thought he was absolutely amazing, one of my heroes. And we were all just sitting on the boat having a chat and talking about the Lord and think, oh, how the world is so awful and terrible and yeah. And somebody said, oh, the world is just so full of questions. And I said, and yes, and God is so full of solutions. Now, I don't know about you. God is so full of solutions. I cringe, and I still cringe when I say that. Maybe you think that's a pretty good answer. It's cringeworthy. It's awful. Solutions. And Jim Hunt turned, my hero, and rebuked me. I can't remember what he said, but I could just see in my mind's eye his mouth moving and saying something, and me just... We say some daft things, some silly things. God's working on us. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "What a stinging rebuke, Satan!" This is, did he look over Peter's shoulder, some people say? Satan was behind Peter and no. You're a hindrance to me. And this is the point, and this is, if we can grab this morning. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Capture that this morning. Grab it. Apply it. Ask yourself, are you and do you have in mind the things of God or the things of man? Crucial, crucial question. Especially when it comes to salvation. And I love that verse in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, in the King James Version, where it says, "But he," Jesus, "turned unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me," and here's the phrase, "for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You savorist. You're savoring. You're salivating over the things of men. Mere humanistic thinking. How do we set our minds on the things of God? How do we find the mind of God? How do we savor the Savior? How do we taste and see that the Lord is good? Short answer? The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. And humility and death. Humility and death. Verse 24. Jesus, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You want to know the mind of God? Word, Spirit, humility, humbly accepting the Word, listening to God. Not arguing with him, not wanting to put him straight, not wanting to put him right. If there are things that we don't understand in Scripture, then we need to either grapple with them, but you need to grapple with them, yes, and pray and seek counsel and work together. And if you can't get to that place, you need to park it until such time that maybe one day, when you get to that place, when you are out of the road and out of the way and you've died to yourself, then maybe we'll get a bit of light on it. The famous Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." come and die. Come and die to yourself. Come and die to your selfishness, yourself. You want to know the mind of God? Pray that the Holy Spirit will open your understanding. Pray that the Spirit will inform and transform your heart through the Word of God by His Spirit, and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Pick up your cross. Die to your own wisdom. Die to your own plans. Die to your own ideas. Die to yourself. Come alive to God. You know, some people have a huge problem with the will of God. And sometimes it can be really, really difficult to know what the will of God is. At the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. Because really, the question is not what is the will of God, but how much of my own will can I hang on to? How much of my own will can I see being worked out in this situation? And that's why we can't see His will so clearly sometimes. Because we're in the way. And we're not dead yet. We're still alive. We still want to assert our rights. Can you? Question. And I've started, so I'll finish. Can you believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord and yet be completely unreceptive to the things of God, or even antagonistic and oppose the things of God? Can you? Yes. Shockingly, yes. Well, look at the life of Peter. Yes, you can do that. But surely if you're a true believer, receive spiritual revelation and understanding from the Holy Spirit of God, then you'll recognize and know the plans and purposes of God. Not always so. That's why we need community. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to be in fellowship with each other. No, when you're on your own, boy, you can be so right, can't you? When you're having an argument with yourself, have you noticed? You always win. You always win. Boy, we are such hot shots when we're on our own. If you notice something about people that are isolated Christians, they're really not that very mature. Not really that mature. Why? Because you need to be in community and you need to be in a relationship with other people to mature. People that love you, support you, care for you, love you enough to say, you are absolutely up the creek on that. Do you know anybody, love anybody enough to say that to them without it being something that just pulls them down and beats them up just for the sake of it? No. Let me just bring this to a close this morning. Peter, he went from hero to zero. Why? Because he mistook the gracious gift from the Father for his own spiritual wisdom. He answered one question and he thought he was a genius. He thought he was a genius to the level of correcting the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it didn't end there for Peter. Praise God. It got worse. He went from, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, to, I don't know the man. Two wee lasses coming. You're a Galilean. No, you're mistaken. I don't know what you're talking about. This guy was with Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know the man. Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then Peter began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus has spoken before the cock crows. You'll disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Simon, Satan's asked for you. Satan's asked to beat you to a pulp. But Simon, I've prayed for you. I'm praying for you. I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to stop the enemy from attacking you, Peter. He is going to do that. But I've prayed for you. And when you've turned back, hallelujah, strengthen your brothers. But Peter replied, I'm ready. No, I'm ready. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to go to death. Peter didn't know himself. Isn't this so encouraging to know that God knows us better than we know ourselves? He knows the depths of denial that we are capable of and do. And yet he says, I'm praying for you. I'm not going to give up on you. Oh, it might be a shock to you how awful you can be as a Christian. It's never a shock to Jesus. It's never a shock. The same Peter who said, never, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you, and I don't know the man, became one of the most fearless, faithful, fruitful proclaimers of the gospel that this world has ever seen. Hallelujah. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? It's a question that needs to be answered. It's a question that needs to be answered day by day, even moment by moment. Answering correctly once upon a time doesn't make you a spiritual genius. You don't need to learn and know anything else. Answering correctly, daily, persistently makes you a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, come, come, follow me, and I'll make you, if you follow me, fishers of men. Let's pray. The worship team, you come back, please. Lord, this morning we are so grateful, we're so thankful for your amazing grace. Lord, that you have loved us in such a way that you have opened up our understanding. Lord, it is by grace that we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves, so no one can boast. Dead in sin, you raised us to life. Not because of who we are, Who have we got to boast? We've got nothing to boast in except to boast in you this morning. So Lord, this morning as we come to break bread and as we come to focus our attention once again on the cross, Lord, give us the grace once again to recognize who you are, to declare that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you're the Lord of our lives. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget. Lest I forget. Holy Spirit, draw us closer. And as we break bread, Lord, let our eyes be opened to see your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.